service. You'll have several speakers coming from the men's group that meets every second and fifth Sunday, now to be every second and fourth and fifth Sunday. We've been going through a book called The Resolution of Men, or For Men. And in that book, we've learned some lessons about being a father, about being a man. And today we're going to share some of those perspectives with you. So we won't keep you too long. I know it's going to get a little warm here real quick. So we'll start off with, I'll open up with some prayer, and then we'll have our first speaker come up. Amen? Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, once again, Lord God, we are thankful for your presence in our lives, in this church, in this service today, Lord God. And we, Lord, we ask that you would be with our speakers today, Lord God, as they share what you have taught them, Lord God, what you have taught us. Help us to be open to your leading, Lord God. Help those in the congregation, Lord God, to hear your words clearly, Lord God, and to act upon all that you say to their hearts, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Let us all say, amen. With that said, our first speaker, St. Clair Simmons.
Well, I'd like to start by just giving you an idea that what I'm going to speak about is leading your family. And as a father, leading your family can be a very hard job. It takes more than balancing a checkbook or giving advice or being able to answer a simple question. As a father in your home, in order to be able to have a good relationship with your family, you must have a good relationship with God. If you do this, he will be able to give you the courage and strength to be a good leader. Beginning with your marriage. As a leader in your house, you are responsible for the success of your marriage. Show your spouse how much you care for her, love her, and respect her. Learn how to talk to each other. Don't just listen, but listen with an open mind and hear what is being said. Being a father, we should be close to our children, teaching them about God and letting them know that God gave them to us, and teach them about how much he loves us and cares for us. As a husband and father, the key to man's success is his own personal walk with God. Being in close fellowship with God can make your life and your family's life more fruitful and successful. Just take time to pray and ask God for help. He'll always be there for you. Having a family devotion can bring your family closer together. Reading the Bible or simply having prayer time can be very helpful in your daily life. The fathers should show affection to their children. Look them in the eye and tell them how grateful you are that God gave them to you. And let them know that they are a gift from God. Your children's level of confidence, security, and spiritual health are all concerns connected to you, your influence on their lives. So whatever example you set most likely will be what they follow and display for their own children as well. Most men do not recognize the awesome responsibility that comes with being a father. It's up to you to look out for them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In other words, as a father, you should lovingly keep your family from anything that will harm their hearts, mind, and body. And prayfully ask God to do anything that might, and prayfully ask God to discern anything that may harm them or lead them astray. So, coming from a father's heart, I just like to say that it's been a blessing to have my family and to see them grow with grandchildren, and it's a lot of them. And I just say, God bless them all.
Good morning, Antioch.
Good morning.
This morning, I want to talk about the, it's called like a missed opportunity in fatherhood. So as Mike says, in our men's meetings, we're going over the book, and there's a chapter about missed opportunities and some regrets. And when I read this chapter, it kind of really touched me, because now that my life is grounded in God, I wish I had found God earlier in my life, because there were a lot of missed opportunities to be a father and guide my family better than what I was doing. I was just basically scratching the surface. I mean, no harm came to my family, but I could have done a much better job, you know. And so you have a little regret there. There's certain things you could have done to maybe guide your child or your family down a different path that was in your mind it was right, but it wasn't God's will. But thankfully, the Lord took care of us and helped me provide for my family, even though I have made the wrong decisions. And I thank God for that. I also thank God for the men and the men's praise team and these group of guys here, because I have someone to lean on when I have challenges as a father. You know, so if I get stuck, or I have these guys that I can, who are also grounded in the word of the Lord, who can help give me godly advice. So I just want, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Public speaking is not my thing. But to all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. And to everyone here in Antioch, I love you and God bless you.
Good morning, church. I don't have to speak too close, right? I don't like the sound of my voice. So. Okay. I wasn't as devoted and diligent with the text as maybe Michael or Larry was, but I was definitely listening to them. So here's what I have to say about what makes a man a good father. And two fundamental things that came to my mind, and it's kind of funny because I had to write about this in summer school. So it's funny how things work out like that. But anyways, two fundamental things that makes a man a good father is self-control and his mindset. And what made me think of this is that God gives us a really good example of self-control, even when we do things that provoke him and upset him. He still gives us grace and he forgives us. And his mindset is also, Jesus came to this earth with a perfect mindset, for us to exemplify. And that's really all I had to say about what makes a man a good father.
Good morning. I've got a few cheat notes here because my memory's not what it used to be. I just want to say what a blessing this little church has been. The church may be small, but there's some big love here. And this men's group has really enriched my life. And I appreciate you guys, some very strong men of God who are willing to be vulnerable with each other and admit a lot of things maybe that we can improve on, to share some of our brokenness. But this book has been an eye-opener for me. It's actually somewhat painful to go through this book. It's a resolution for men. And the authors challenge men to make a commitment to 12 resolutions. I'll just briefly read through them just so you have an idea what the book is about, because you may want to check the book out yourself. I read a review that one woman had written who decided to read it because her husband was reading it, and she learned a lot about her husband through reading it. But the first commitment is be a man of responsibility. Lead your family. Love your wife. bless your children, live with honor, fight for justice, demonstrate love, provide for your family, reconcile with your past, live with integrity, be found faithful, and leave a legacy. These resolutions are a tall order for the average man, for a sinner like me. I just will share a few thoughts. I kind of decided to go with the one resolution that says resolve to reconcile with your past. And that's chapter 12, and we actually are on chapter 8 right now, but I kind of skipped ahead because the concept of forgiveness is something that I needed to meditate on for myself. Because in that chapter, they have commitments, and the commitment is, I'll just quote from the book, says, I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I added to that for myself to accept God's forgiveness and to forgive myself. I was thinking about forgiveness and how it's central to our Christian faith and how forgiveness is actually kind of unique to Christianity among other world religions. There's a lot of other ideologies that don't incorporate forgiveness. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to forgive 7 times 70. Even from the cross, Jesus spoke the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave his murderers, not after they said, we're sorry, but while they were actually in the process of killing him. He spoke those words of forgiveness. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray the words, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I guess what I bring away from that is that forgiveness is not an option in our Christian faith. It's central to it. This is by far the hardest thing, in my opinion. This has been my biggest struggle, and this chapter has helped me get better at it. I'll just read one other quote from this book. It says, we must never stop forgiving. We may get angry and even confront, but the very day we stop forgiving is the day we poison a relationship and ourselves. If we are not careful, one wrong can derail us. Another quote says, nobody says this is easy. It's not easy. Pastors, psychologists, counselors tell us that getting someone to forgive is one of the most difficult challenges of all. Even after discovering the many reasons why we should forgive and why it's so vital, some people still refuse to do it. I guess that's something we can all meditate on. I know there's maybe things that I've harbored in my heart. Again, the biggest problem for me has been forgiving myself for hurts, maybe things that I have done, and maybe more importantly, things I have left undone. One last quote, it says, forgive, release, apologize, repent, and may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. How is everybody doing? All right, they asked us all to speak a little bit. I don't know, we're going a lot of different places. Basically, this is Father's Day and fatherhood and manhood. We're talking about, I looked up the origin of Father's Day, and it said it started in this country. I don't know, do they have Father's Day around the world? Does anybody know? I looked up the origin of this. It was started in Spokane in like 1910, I think. at a YMCA. It was given by a guy who, as a Civil War veteran, was a single father of six and raised his children. And so they kind of honored him. And this is, I think this is the origin of Father's Day. Anyway, here I go going off on a tangent. The reason I'm here in this church is not only for my love of God, but it was the love of some guys that I know in here for 30 plus years, something, before they were even fathers and before I was a father. So that was pretty amazing to me. People want to ask, well, what do you do when you're a good father? What makes a good father? What makes a good man? Boy, I just don't know. I always try to turn to God. Always turn to God. He's always helped me up through my life. I'm just a humble musician. I never wanted to be a president or, I did want to be a scientist at one time. But anyway, I've been doing this for about 45 years, and I don't think I would have been able to stand here and talk to you today or even have a life without the help of God. I mean, I did this because of the love in my heart, and I asked God for direction and what to do, and I've always done this, and God has taken me to this point. So anyway, we're back to fatherhood now. What makes a good father? I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I guess I'm going to have to try to clarify this. I look around. I see I have problems like everybody else. And meeting with the guys on the second and was fourth Sunday. I'm not always on time, a little bit late, but I always manage to get in on the conversation. And I hear these guys talk about their problems, and we all have the same similar problems. So I look at that and go, okay, I hear that Michael say this, and I hear St. Clair say that, and Larry will say something. It's like, okay, I could do that. A lot of it is just really just being grounded in God and praying to God for guidance, for courage, for strength, for patience. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to take it a day at a time. The kids say, Happy Father's Day. I go, every day is Father's Day, because we're still here and we're still trying to be fathers, so. With that, I think I'm just going to close. I'm not trying to speak too fast. Michael told me to speak slowly. So I'm not trying to speak too fast, but I didn't have anything prepared. I was just going to speak from my heart, and all I can say is, thanking God that he allowed me to live, to have the kind of life that I have, to be a father, and I will always depend on him and try to do my fatherhood, my manhood with love, with patience, with integrity. I thank you guys. Happy Father's Day.
Good morning, church. Reading the book, as Michael will know, as another congregation of us fathers coming together, as Michael and everyone can attest, I've got the golden ring of always late, and in my heart, a lot of the church family doesn't know that it's you can be late, but God follows you, and he's in you. If you are in him, he's in you. Whether you are in your car, your backyard, you're sitting in traffic, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But what the book, The Resolution of Men, teaches a lot of things, and the discussion with these wonderful, wonderful men of God, which I couldn't survive without. It's been a wonderful family of responsible men, and speaking the truth of some of the frustrations and the joys of today. We're in a generation that needs men to step up and review the past generations of society, which is easy to do because we're men, we're made of skin. The lost need our encouragement. And when I say the lost, we have a society that is a little bit lost, in my opinion. And when I say lost, it could be everything from your sexuality, gender, to your social media, to what is important as a man, to what is important to his family. And a lot of times, it's more important for a dad to show off what he got his kids at the mall and at the school soccer teams and things like that. And I'm a little too old for that now. My daughters are grown. But we have the same problems as some of the younger mothers and fathers in the congregation. And so we lose focus, and you have to keep your focus. God, fatherhood, he's our father. And we have to pass that down. I feel that's what I've learned out of the books, is that Lord Jesus is our father. And we succumb to that as the rules and discipline, then we can be better ourselves in this world. Unselfish praying for our family, and ask forgiveness that you have been forgiven. I, like many of you spoken, I've made many mistakes as a young man. And I am blessed that I have two wonderful daughters, a wonderful son, and only two grandkids. But I pray for them daily, and I face challenges as a father, just like there are a lot of people I talk to. I face challenges that I have to correct myself, and I have to say, Lord, help me here. I've got everything from a wonderful business, totally successful daughter that's 45 years old, but is on the brink of atheism. Where did I miss? What did I do? And this becomes a heavy heart on a father. So we continue to pray because he's our father. And so that's all we have. I have a son who is a wonderful, brilliant master's degree. But I challenge myself because I have to forgive, because my son is gay. And there is nothing that I can say that is my judgment, because it's not my heart. I still love my son. He's successful. I accept what it is. Do I disagree? Yes. So I constantly pray. So those that have challenges with your children, you still have to love them. You have to nourish them, and you have to speak up for what you are, because if you don't, they have nothing to go by, nothing to judge. What is the standpoint of where I am as a female or male in the society? So it is up to us fathers to stand ground. I will close with this. In chapter 8, a disciple doesn't feel good, does it? Ever. As we an adult or children, it produces a harvest of righteousness and a sense of conformity and peace after the pain. Again, discipline doesn't feel good, does it? Not sometimes discipline doesn't feel good as a parent or as one of you young men or some of you children. And there's a beautiful song in my heart. I will close with this. There was a song, because an old hippie like me, and I was an old hippie during, it was in the service in the 70s. And I used to listen to that song from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Teach your children well, the fisher's hell to slowly go by. Feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you'll know by. Don't you ask them ever why, if they told you they would cry. So just both of them inside, for they know they love you. And you've got to hold that love. That's what I learned. Forgiveness and love.
Wow, praise God. I knew Eddie would be good. He always has great insight. God set it up perfectly for us today. Appreciate you, brothers, speaking from your heart. It's been a great blessing to me. I can't tell you how valuable or invaluable you are in my life, all of you. I mean, nobody, God knows. All I can say, I appreciate each one of you very much. I love you all very, very much. Appreciate it. So, the scripture, Psalm 78, verses 2 to 4, that's from the New King James Version. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I've learned. Just before the 12 chapters in the book, this part one in the book, it talks about a lifelong vision of fatherhood. That is something that we rarely start our fatherhood with. When I became a father, I didn't plan on a vision or a plan for what fatherhood looked like. I'm just gonna go with it. Me and a wife, we're gonna have kids, and we're gonna do this thing. And I didn't have the necessary skills or the ingredients. I call the ingredients those 12 things that Dana, the chapters in the book that we need. They were all unknown to me. So imagine at the age of 53, probably figured out in 50, but I'll say 53 for now, my life goes on and I realize that, you know, I'm expecting to put myself on cruise control because my oldest is, you know, 28, 27, youngest is 24, you know, and I got two in the middle. I'm on cruise control now. I'm about to go into retirement from fatherhood. And nah, didn't work out that way. So I've been married 30 years, a father for 29, coming July 15th, that is. And I realize that my work is just beginning. I got a long way to go. Like I said, it's a lifelong vision of fatherhood. So young fathers out there, my brother back there in the back, you just getting started. The key thing about that is I find fatherhood an interesting club. It is a club. We're brothers in this club. And it's relatively easy to join in most cases. We're unprepared for the cost of it. Even though most of us would not argue against the need for the importance of fatherhood, yet we don't build a plan or a vision for fatherhood. I can't think of anybody that actually set me down and said, hey, Michael, when you go into fatherhood, here are some things you need to know. Here's some steps. Here's some building blocks. Here's some things here. I just, you know, okay, Lord, what do I do next? I didn't accept anybody taking me under their wing. I didn't ask for anybody to put me under their wing. Maybe someone came to me and I rejected them. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't recall. I had my father, you know, who was a great provider. Great provider. He is a great provider, I should say. He's still around. Sorry about that, Dad. My wife's father, he's passed down, but he's a great man as well. And I, you know, he showed me some things as well. So I had two men that kind of showed me some things. But I didn't have a vision or a plan. So if you were to start a business today, what's the first thing you do? You check the market. I'm going to deliver a product. Somebody. Is there a demand for it? Well, I ask you, if you're a father or you're serving the role of father, or you plan to be a father, even if you're not a father, but you're participating in activities that lead to fatherhood, you have a demand for fatherhood. You have a demand for what we do or what we should be doing. So with that said, we should have a vision and a plan. But we don't. As Dana pointed out earlier, man of responsibility, lead your family, love your wife, bless your children. And the bless your children part, we want to break it down a little bit more for you, is really capturing their hearts, making a connection with them. You know, that's something that's, even if you missed it the first time, you still have a chance now because you're alive today. And if your children are still alive, you can still connect with them now. Live with honor, fight for justice, which is one of my all-time favorites. Demonstrate love, provide for your family, reconcile with your past, And Dana, I know that because I had to reconcile with my past and forgive myself, forgive my father. And once you do that, there's freedom. You can allow your light to shine from within, and there's no fear anymore. You just, whatever you are, you are. And God will deal with you there. Because that's what God does. He deals with us where we're at now. Be found faithful, live with integrity, and then leave a legacy. So a lot of times we like to leave, you know, kids our insurance policies and things like that, money and house and cars. But leaving a legacy of God, right there, those words, his word, of integrity, love. So let me tell you about a struggle in fatherhood that I found out about. It's called expectations without a vision. Expectations without a vision. Have any of you seen the movie Madagascar 2, Escape to Africa? Anybody seen that movie? Yeah, it's a good movie, right? Anybody enjoyed that movie? Well, you know, the king of the lion pride had expectations for his son. And in the beginning of the movie, he could see him, he's playing with a rattle, and he's getting his son to attack the rattle. Come on, attack the rattle, son. But all his son was concerned with was dancing. Dancing, of all things. And his father said, hey, you know what? Lions don't do that. And then the father's challenged right in that scene. He's challenged by another lion. And the father said, hey, son, let me show you how it's done. Just like we do. Son, let me show you how it's done. I'm going to show you my pride. I'm going to show you how to be a man, strong and powerful. And so he goes off and shows his son. The son gets distracted, and the father and the son are separated for a time, a period of time. Eventually, the son and father come back together again. So the father's excited, the son's excited. Great day, right? Relationships rebuilt, they're back together again. And so now the son has to go to the rites of passage now, right? He's grown, though. So he goes and goes to the rites of passages, and he fails miserably. Why? Because when he should have been fighting, he was dancing. So in the ensuing scene, the father says, why didn't you fight, son? And the son says, why didn't you tell me? And that struck me. That struck me hard because then I realized there was an expectation from the father for the son to perform a certain way. But the son had no idea because the father did not engage him. Even when he had him back, the father had his son back, he didn't engage him. The son had no idea. So the father was bitter and blamed his son for not performing like he wanted him to perform. How many of us has done that to our children? There were expectations that my father had for me that I didn't live up to because I just didn't know. I had expectations for my children. They just didn't know. We expect them to perform a certain way, but we don't maintain that connection, that capturing of their heart. So that's why I say that we need a vision, a roadmap for our fatherhood. And that's why the Resolution of Men helps us build that roadmap. But the best vision to follow is the vision of the Father, God, and the Son Jesus left for us. So, a lot of us struggle with our roles as dads because we struggle with our roles with God as well. But in a devotion from Charles Stanley, I can't keep it too long because I'm running over time a little bit. He says that when we look at Jesus, his life, what do we see? He was merciful, he was patient, he was gentle, he was compassionate, kind, and full of goodness toward all people, not just some, not just the ones who fit the model that we want or the children that fit the model that we want. That's in Matthew 9, 10, 13. The Savior healed the sick, provided for their needs, offered forgiveness regardless of the offense. Forgiveness regardless of the offense. He didn't hesitate to discipline and correct others when required. So, more than a solid education or material possessions, our children's greatest need and role, model of devotion to God through prayer, Bible reading, and holy living. If you make knowing and following the Heavenly Father your first priority, you won't have to worry about what kind of parent you will be. Amen? So, here comes the personal part for me. What has God really spoken to my heart about all that's been said today, all the talks we had in the back? My vision for fatherhood, rules that I have to live by that I can't do by myself. First, build and gain confidence and trust in every relationship and situation, no matter what. Build confidence and trust, no matter what the situation is. That is what God does with us every day. No matter how we come to him, he's confident, and we know we can trust him. All the time. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You go to him with anything. You can be mad. You can go to him cursing if you want to. He's still there. He's always drawing us closer to him. Success nor failure is my destination. Doesn't matter if I'm successful or failure. Does not matter. They're just stepping stones to me getting closer to God. Every situation I face, no matter what happens, doesn't matter if I success or failure, as long as I'm doing what God asked me to do, because eternity is my destination. That's where I'm going. I know it already. By the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ, I know I'm going there. So what I do here now, I do for him and him alone. So it doesn't matter if someone says I'm successful or a failure or not, because I work for God and God alone. Amen? Always give the truth, even if it tells on yourself. If you lied, okay, just go ahead and say you did. Just get it out. Just go ahead and say it and get it over with. Never limit yourself to your own knowledge. A man on an island will make decisions like a man on an island. Decisions for himself, selfish decisions. But when you hold yourself accountable to other men and people, your family, then you're not on the island anymore. When you talk about your problems that you struggle with, you're not on the island anymore. And then whenever you're getting data from somebody, this is all computer stuff for me, but whenever you're getting data, you're learning something from somebody, you gather that data for understanding, not judgment, excuse me. Never judge based on what you learn from somebody else, especially when you're talking to your wife, your children. Don't judge them. Understand, discipline, teach. Accountability and ownership, always. Be accountable, own what you do, own your actions, own what you say, own it all, no matter what. In closing, we shared a lot today. Fatherhood is no joke. It is a lifelong commitment and journey for all of us. It is a calling not to be taken alone. And each one of us has been called. Maybe not called to preach. Maybe not called to be musicians or whatever it is you are today. But we are called to be fathers, and we cannot do it alone. God is with you. Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And my brothers, please stand up. All the brothers who have spoken today, please stand up. We are with you. Amen. Larry.
I want to thank all of the brothers who spoke today and gave some personal reflections on fatherhood. And I heard a lot of things that I could relate to. Forgiving yourself, forgiving your children, holding up a standard, being responsible, being accountable. You know, what it told me is that fatherhood is not an easy job. It's a tough job. It's the toughest job a man may ever have, is to really be a good father. My father passed away in 1992, and that's, 24 years ago? But there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of him. And I think of some of the things he said to me and the things he did for me. Some of the things, like he always said, leave a situation better than you found it. He also introduced me to riding motorcycles. I was 13 when he gave me my first beer. So everything wasn't always good, but everything was always a blessing to me because my father was there for me. I've been married twice. I've had two father-in-laws. My latest, Kim's dad, passed away not quite 2 years ago in December, and that was a very difficult thing. But my first father-in-law is still here, and he came this morning. He wanted to be with his daughter and his son-in-law. He will never be anything other than my father-in-law. I call him dad, and it doesn't matter. You know, God forbid that I should be married 10 times, Bimsky will still be my father-in-law because we go a long way back, and we've been through some things. We've been through some hard times and some losses of ones that are close to us, but we've also been through some very good times. We used to play together in a band. He plays guitar and sings, and I played bass and sang, and just some of those memories. I can remember one time that we were this big ball and lots of people on the dance floor, people dressed in tuxedos and formals, and there was a woman that I believe had had a couple of drinks too much to drink, and she was out there dancing 1 second, and we were just playing, and the next thing you know, she was on the floor. She had fallen, and we had to both turn around like this and laugh at each other because we didn't want to laugh at her in the mics, right? It was one of those things where, you see, anybody that's ever played in a band knows you see crazy things happen when you play music. There's just a joy that comes from making music. I don't know how to transmit it other than to say that it's a gift that God gives us, and it just is a continuous spring of joy in our lives. It just is fun. You know, musicians have some of the best and worst crazy things that happen in their lives, but there's nothing like the joy of knowing that you can sit down and play, and the people that you play with, the people that you sing with, are closer than brothers. They're your friends, they're your comrades, they're your colleagues, but there's a bond there that's never broken. And that's one thing I definitely thank my father-in-law, Larry Bimp, for just the joy that he's brought to my life. Thank you. God bless you. Let's stand and be dismissed. If there's anyone that would like to, as our counselors come forward, please. We never want to leave this place without the opportunity for someone to give their lives to Christ or to simply come forward for prayer.